John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to What Are You Wearing? Stick a bit of custard on it. The podcast of this morning's chaotic show.
Oh, I mean, if you just tuned into this podcast, you have no idea what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I've ever laughed as much at work, and I'm a comedian, right?
Yeah, things took a real gear shift when, before the show had even started today, we were just chatting away, lubricating ourselves socially for the 3 hours to come, when we were interrupted by a red-faced Jazz FM producer who had sprinted up the stairs to break some rather upsetting and potentially career-ending news.
Oh, my goodness me. I still hurt from laughing.
You will hear it in full. You'll find out what happened. And I remain, despite the best efforts of whoever's trying to bring me down, I remain in employment. Try again.
I think there's going to be a big meeting this afternoon, but we'll see what happens.
Luckily, I've said worse in Morrison's. But you'll hear what that is all about. As for the custard reference, well, we talked about it last week. The 160-year-old war veteran who put his life down to custard led to one of the all-time great voice notes, which we will open with.
Was her name? I've forgotten. Emma. What a voice. Was it Emma?
Emma.
Yeah.
Nothing more to be said than enjoy this week's show. It could have been the last, but I think we're all right.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So good morning, welcome along to Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson here with the returning Angela Barnes.
Hello, I'm back, baby. I've never said that before in my life.
No, and it came out in the manner of someone who's never said that before. And I don't think you'll be saying it again for
never
a while.
Again, John, never again.
If ever there's a quiz in which a question is asked, what is the opposite of Arnold Schwarzenegger? I think that clip might be used again. Although, powerlifting queen,
hey.
Maybe I'm wrong.
100 by September is the goal.
Right, I will find you a 100-kilogram comedian to lift.
Brilliant.
Once you break that barrier.
Me to that.
Now, Angela, you weren't here last week. We'll get on to what you were doing last week.
Yes.
Very exciting. One of the better reasons not to be here, I think. And I'm going to go as far as to say you had a better time than you would have with me.
John, I'm not going to disagree.
Okay, thanks. All right, slightly tense now for the next 2 hours and 55 minutes. Anyway, this is not the cleanest show on the radio. It is the tidiest. So every week we start by tidying up any unfinished business from the show before. If you weren't with us last Saturday, this is what you missed.
Custard. Custard, custard.
I was a bit gutted to miss the custard chat because I love custard.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that just turns out all you've got to do is just keep saying custard.
It's a funny word.
It's a very Saturday morning word, isn't it?
Yeah.
The
only thing that rhymes with custard is mustard, and they're both yellow. Always thought that was
remarkable. There not a bird called a bustard?
Oh, you've ruined it, John. Are they yellow?
Sorry, mate.
They might be yellow. What colour's a bustard?
I don't know. I'll Google it. Now, speaking of custard. This all is off the back of an article about a 106-year-old war veteran who says the reason for his long life is custard. He's not the only person who's passionate about custard. Of course he's not. Here's Emma.
Morning, John. I heard you talking last week about the old boy in the news. I think you were 106 years old, crediting custard to how long he's lived. Well, I just have to say, I completely agree. I have custard every day. I also run my own bakery, the Yorkshire Pud Bakery in North Yorkshire, and I am constantly telling people, stick a bit of custard on it. I just want to say a big well done to Leslie for living that long. Strongly encourage you to join the daily custard consuming community. It's a great club to be in. Thanks, Emma.
I want Emma to be my friend.
Yeah.
I want to go round to Emma's for Yorkshire pudding and custard.
She's everything and custard by the sounds of it. Cottage pie and custard, cornflakes and custard.
My old flatmate used to have custard for breakfast, and she used to say it's got milk and eggs in it. That makes it breakfast.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope, that difference, isn't it? Because I always think that if I have leftover pizza, well, it's basically just toast. If you need any voiceover work, I assume Emma is available. It's just a joy to listen
to. It's lovely.
I shall be trying to get the phrase stick a bit of custard on it in as many different scenarios as I can this week. A bustard is also known as a florican and a corhan, and it's a large terrestrial bird which lives mainly in dry grassland.
And what colour is it, John? That's the important bit.
Well, they're sort of a whitey, beigey coloured.
Like almost yellow?
I couldn't say that. They're certainly not custard. I don't think you could describe it as a custard bustard. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say. We also last week asked for rules about going on holiday. We landed on the golden rule being don't put your towel on a chair if you're not going to sit directly on it.
Yes.
We had a late entry from Tracy.
Hi, John. I know you mentioned rules for holidays last week and decided on a golden rule, but I had something I think needs to be added too. It should be absolutely banned for someone to suggest a whip round fit driver when you're on a coach trip. You've likely overpaid for the excursion in the first place, and it's worth reminding that the driver is indeed paid to be there and not forced at all. Thanks, Tracy.
I'm telling you right now, Tracy had an ISA when she was 18. She did. Go, it's Tracy.
It's difficult to put that in as a golden rule, I've got to say. You want a tip, driver? Stick a bit of custard on it. That's all you're getting from me, pal. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes, who was not with us last week because...
I was absent. I was at the Grand Prix in Silverstone.
Oh, mate. You kindly sent me some pictures. And we talked about Formula One since the dawn of the show, really. You've given us regular updates. You've talked about your themed meals.
Yeah.
So to know you were there last week was a real thrill. And you were like, you were on the, what do they call it?
The road. Paddock.
In the paddock.
I was in the paddock. I was on the road.
On the road.
Got right in the way, I did. They shouldn't have put a zebra crossing there, really. It was a mistake.
Well, there's no pavement, I imagine, is there? That freaked me right out.
Yeah, no, I had a great time. I should thank my lovely comedy friend, Joel Domick, because I sort of borrowed his paddock pass for a bit. Because, you know, he's famous and that, so he gets a paddock pass to hang out. But he was going to be late, and then he got stuck in traffic. So I got to have it for a bit, and I got to watch FP3, the practice three in the garage, which was quite exciting, with my little headset on, listening to all the radio comms.
Oh, what did you hear?
Loads of things I can't possibly tell you, John.
Yes.
What I did not hear was that Christian Horner would get the sack on Monday, but never mind, that happened.
Was that you?
That was me, yeah, I think I did that.
Yeah, you had a busy weekend, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I met Lauren Meckes, who's taken over from him from Racing Bulls. I met him at the Red Bull motorhome thing. So, you know, he must have been in there making his deals, sorting it all out.
It's exciting being around, though. I love it when I go to a football game and you look up in the box and you see he was there and you find out next week someone's been sacked. You think, oh, that conversation was happening while I was there.
Right, exactly that. Because we walked past like the office and the door was shut and the light was on. And Nick, my friend who I know who works there, was like, oh, that means they're having a meeting. And I was like, oh, what's happening in the meeting? Now we know.
Every now and again at Leeds, you'll see like a big A-list footballer being there and you're like, oh, maybe we're going to sign that footballer. And then you check the news the next day and it's, oh, no, his cousin plays for Port Vale. That's why he was there. Yeah. Damn it.
One of the most exciting things was I met Charles Leclerc's little dog, Leo. Little sausage dog, Leo Leclerc.
You could have said Charles Leclerc.
No, dog. That's even better. Leo Leclerc and Roscoe Hamilton are very famous in the world.
Oh, are they known dogs?
Oh, yeah. Roscoe is Lewis Hamilton's bulldog, and Leo is Charles Leclerc's little sausage dog. And there's beautiful videos of them playing together in various paddocks across the world.
What are their faces like? Because I know that Poncho... not a normal question.
I would say Leo Leclerc's face is a lot more like Charles Leclerc's than the bulldog is like Lewis Hamilton.
Right. I'm picturing a bulldog because what I know of dogs is their penchant for sticking their head out of the window while driving.
Oh,
and I'm
nice.
Just wondering what it does to a dog's face to stick itself out of a Formula One car. I imagine they're all bulldogs by the end, aren't they? There's a sausage dog yesterday. Look at the jowls on it now. it was a pleasure to see the pictures and to know you were there for what was an emotional...
What a Sunday. Return. Well, it was emotional because I'm a McLaren girl and I'm not a Johnny Come Lately McLaren since they started doing well. My dad's team was McLaren and we used to watch the races together and go to the races together and stuff. And the last race I watched with my dad before he died was in 2008 when Hamilton won Silverstone in the McLaren. And that was the last time a McLaren won Silverstone. So I had a little something in my eye when Lando did it on Sunday.
You don't strike me as a sort of... necessarily spiritual or mystical forces person, but those you don't need in any extra moments like that. I don't think it's enough to know that happened and to think of that moment.
It was really like, and I don't believe, you know, I'm quite a humanist in nature, you know, I believe that this is the life we have and we live it and whatever, but
or not
whatever,
sometimes stay in. This is the life we have and it's fine to stay in as well.
Sometimes we're John Richardson.
We'll come to the Britpop Diaries later.
But it was, there was a little, like my dad was there in my memories. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
He was there enjoying it with me. And so it was like quite an emotional little moment.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And Kerry was here and she was fine.
Yeah. She was great. I listened to it. And I tell you,
superb.
Driving home from Silverstone on Sunday night, I listened to the podcast and there were a couple of times where I nearly crashed my car laughing. Particularly Scone for Joan did it for me.
Oh, Scone for Joan. Well, news on more of that. We've got Saturday Smugness, of course, the antidote to all the people now listening to the other stations, the Jazz
like
FMs
Jazz
and
FM.
The like. Just to fill you in, there was a little moment before we started the show today where we arrived in the studio having a little chinwag, as
just
we do.
A little chat, little
we're
catch
sociable
up.
Beings. It's good for people to know we talk to each other off air.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Will then pulled what I would call his serious moment face and a producer from Jazz FM burst into the studio to tell us that we were going out live on Jazz FM. And it's one of those moments, you're glad you're tedious, I tell you that.
It's sort of tragic but good, isn't it? Because part of you's like, oh, how rock and roll would it have been if we'd said something terrible?
Yeah.
But you and I were never going to have said something terrible.
I'm sure there are DJs, and there might be some at this station who turn up and somebody says, what did you do last night? And there's an unbroadcastable anecdote.
Absolutely.
I turned up this morning, and what did you say to me? Ooh, what are you wearing?
Yes.
It's a bit warm for that top, isn't it?
How you've got a baseball jumper on. And I went, oh, it's a bit warm. And you said, well, it's cold in Sheffield. And that's what went out.
Yeah. So thank God I'm tedious. And may the rest of you continue to fall and I shall hoover up the work that remains. Anyway, Dave has gone and found what went out on Jazz FM when I arrived in the studio this morning.
We should explain Jazz FM's like a sister station to Absolute, right?
It's,
so it's all part of the same family.
The family. Yeah. You know, and in a different world, you know, I am on Jazz FM.
Yeah.
But I think when you hear, we're going to play you now what went out on Jazz FM.
I can't emphasise enough how genuine this is. Like, we have not made this up. This was our little chit-chat in the studio before we started the show. And this
and
went
also,
out
it could
air.
Have been over somebody talking. It comes in exactly as the DJ cues up a really
so
sultry
funny.
Tune.
It
and you suddenly
been more
get...
perfect.
And it's just a little window into what my opening banter is when I arrive. And I have to point out here, nobody else is talking. That's because their mics weren't faded up at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't want you thinking I'm just talking to myself.
And, we
and I
here.
Have already been spoken to by Angela about my top. So when a question is fired at producer Dave, I want you to know that that's all above board and it's part of an ongoing conversation about clothing. Anyway.
He doesn't regularly ask this question to strangers.
Here on Absolute Radio is Jazz FM. Well, we're up north, aren't we? It's Baltic up here. Snowing. Hello, Dave, how are you? What are you wearing?
I can't breathe!
Oh.
It couldn't be more perfect. That's sultry jazz. And what are you wearing? Oh, my God.
It's so, I mean, I wonder if there were people listening to Jazz FM who, obviously, I mean, there will be people listening who don't know who I am, who just thought that was part of the track. What a weird jazz track. Well, it's cold up here, isn't it? It's snowing. Mark Lawrenson doing on Jazz FM.
Oh my God. I just imagine someone called Dave driving his car. Like he's a salesman, likes a bit of Jazz FM as he's driving between appointments to sell soft drinks. And
hello, suddenly, Dave.
Hello, Dave. Oh, it's John Richardson, isn't it? What are you wearing? John,
oh.
I'm at work.
I mean, given that could have very easily been the end of me.
Oh.
I'm almost appalled that I didn't say anything more exciting.
It's quite something, isn't it? I think that's the funniest thing that's ever happened on this show.
Yeah, it's devastating to find out you're funnier off air than on. I'd love to know what the listeners to Jazz FM are making. Do you know what? I'm going to say it now. I think they were disappointed when it ended. I think when that track just carried on without my banal chat. Well, it's a blue and white, it's a blue and yellow striped long sleeve top. Anyway, I think it's about 5 degrees cooler up here.
Think it works for you, John?
I would be very surprised if I didn't hear from the bosses at Jazz FM this week. Perhaps the last John Richardson show on Absolute before John's jazzy breakfast kicks off, I think. Join me next week on Jazz on Toast. Okay, well, listen, we've had a bit of fun. Let's hope that never happens again.
Just if anything else had been different about that music, if it had had lyrics, if it was the time, like you couldn't have timed that better, John.
I'm in sync with, it just shows somewhere deep inside me is a natural jazz rhythm.
Yeah.
Just the way I operate, the way I move, the way I eat, everything about
me. How different
your
life could have been if you discovered that earlier about yourself. Oh. You know, you wouldn't be sitting here now, you'd be down at Ronnie Scott's.
I'm a jazz man.
You're a jazz man.
I'm a jazz man, I always have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh dear. Sorry, we're a little bit hysterical, listeners.
Yeah,
I
think it's that. It's that. I would describe that as the feeling you probably get after a skydive. It's that. Oh, God, that was amazing. I could have died, but that was absolutely amazing.
It's what my husband would call type 2 fun.
Yes.
Because, you know, he likes his high adrenaline sports and things. Yeah. It's like, it's not fun while you're doing it. It's fun directly after you've done
it.
That's
absolutely.
What that is.
Absolutely. I mean, that's not what I'd say after a skydive, obviously. I'd say, oh, it was cold up there. Chick-a-pow. What am I wearing? A parachute, pal. It's time for I Love You, But. It's a dedication, but in our own unique manner, something that's mean about the person rather than that's nice. And this week it comes from Tom.
Hi, John. Really appreciate you letting me have this week's one and only dedication. So this week I would love to give a big shout out to my sister, Natalia. She is truly amazing, helped me through everything in life. She's great. I just want to say thanks for being so supportive over the years. I love you loads. But I just want to know why every time you come to my house, just before you leave, you need to use the toilet. When I go upstairs, I'm trembling with fear, wondering if you flushed it. So can I just ask you, can you make sure it's flushed? Your loving brother, Tom.
Oh, wow. Poor Natalia sitting at home going, oh, my big brother has... No, actually, I reckon Tom's the little brother and she's doing it 100% on purpose. Yeah.
That, I think of all the ones we've had that are going to have consequences for the caller, that one. That is really coming back.
Yeah.
That took a real turn because it was really sweet beforehand. Last week we had a granddad giving love to his grandkids and it was a similar vibe of like, oh, this is actually, maybe this feature needs to go because it's people are using it as an excuse to be nice about the person.
Too sentimental.
But then... Wow, that was a real cloaked fist there, Tom.
It was. But the thing is, now, if I was Natalia now, I'd be like, you wait till my next visit, Tom. Oh, mate, you don't know what you're going to find.
Brussels sprout vindaloo the night before, before you go around Tom's house.
Too right.
Well, I apologise, Natalia. But, you know, if you're not flushing, then you should be. So, you know, I can't get involved. This is for you. It'll be scant. Consolation, I think, for what has just been broadcast over national airwaves. But, you know, I am just the mouthpiece. Also, Tom, what are you wearing?
What are you wearing?
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back to Absolute Radio. This Saturday morning, you're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes. This is where we really double down on our USP, shall we say.
Oh, yeah. Bringing down the smugs.
Too much niceness going on the other stations. Too many love song dedications. Too many, congratulations on so-and-so's had a baby.
Too much. What are you wearing?
Too much of that stuff, So this is just a little bit of meanness, just out of nowhere on a Saturday morning, just absolute vitriol at people who've had a nice time or achieved anything. And I always start by, I limber up by being mean to you, Angela.
Yeah, it's quite cruel that when you think about it, isn't it? But let's not dig too deep into why we do that every week.
If we were to put stats on it, if you were to edit a package together of just you saying something that you've achieved and me being mean, I reckon there's about half an hour of it now.
I've actually put that together and sent it to HR, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, no worries, I'm on it.
I'm off to Jazz FM anyway, so you guys can stay here, to be honest. It would sound a bit like a sort of mild Derek and Clive, I imagine, just the unedited footage of that. I've done my PB at weightlifting, have you? You're going to put your back out. So what have you been up to? I mean, hard to trump being at Silverstone for Lando Norris's McLaren win, to be honest.
I mean, that's pretty smug. But I've already done that smugness, so that's sort of fine.
And I was nice about
it. And you were nice about it, John. And the reason I'm not using it in this segment is because if you take me down about that, I'll cry. And that's not what the listeners want, is it, really?
No, but it's good radio.
I think I've got two little smugnesses. One is that I didn't go out live on Jazz FM this morning, so that's something. Quite smug about
there.
That. I was
you
in the
watching.
Room, but I didn't.
I wonder if I should get paid for that, actually. I used to get my agent
send him
on
a
that.
Little invoice, see what happens.
I think
see
so.
See what happens.
Yeah.
But my actual smugness for today is, I think I've been doing this show for, what, about 9 months now?
Feels
pretty
like
regularly.
More.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you. And the lanyard gate has been a thing, right? Because for listeners that don't know, Kerry got given a lanyard so she could get in and out of the building and, you know,
Week
go
one.
To the toilet without asking for permission, things like that. And I didn't get a lanyard, right? So if I want to go to the toilet, I have to ask Will first for permission. And I think,
good little
frankly,
edit from if I want to have her.
Yeah, I think.
If I want to have it, well, if I want to go to the toilet.
Well, I think he gets a kick out of the power, personally. But so I've been saying, well, can I have a lanyard? And they were like, well, Kerry lost her lanyard, so, you know. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not Kerry. I won't lose my lanyard. Anyway, long story short, last time I was here, I got a lanyard, John.
So you were given a lanyard or you took a lanyard?
I've got my own lanyard. No, I was given one.
Okay.
Legit lanyard. Mm-hmm. I've got one. Mm-hmm. And ever since, so that was 2 weeks ago, I was last on the show. And ever since, I've been like, you cannot forget your lanyard at the first show back because they will tear you to pieces if you do. So my smugness is that I remembered my lanyard this morning. That, and I am very smug about that because I forget things all the time, John. But yes.
Well, you're also a touring comedian, so you're not necessarily at home. So sometimes you've got to make the decision, packing on a Wednesday, do I take my lanyard with me for 4 days and risk losing it in Hemel Hempstead?
Exactly.
Or, so what is it? Has it got a place at home?
It's got a place. I've got a little hook in my bedroom, and that's where I hung it on the door, so that as I was leaving this morning, I'd see it and go, "Oh!" But I put it in my handbag last night, John.
I'd love to know what else
organized.
Is on your little bedroom hook.
Would you?
Yeah.
I nearly said something then that I definitely can't say.
Put some jazz music under this. What's on your bedroom hook? All right. I'm slightly creeped out by the thought of it in the bedroom. I'm not going to lie.
My lanyard's been in my bedroom.
But I can't, because I've been mean about you not having a lanyard for 9 months now.
Yeah.
And now that you've been given one and you've remembered it, I don't know what to do. But I tell you what, now that you've put it out as a smugness, and you will forget it one day.
I will, won't I? You're going to
you
take
will.
Me down.
Oh, that's going to be 3 hours. I'm just going to do the full show on it.
What are you wearing? Not a lanyard.
Yeah, I struggle to top the meanness of your awful ferry day. So I think you know now that anything
mate.
I say about you forgetting your lanyard is tempered from one of the worst days you've ever had, which I was mean about the very next morning.
Yeah, not even on air. Not even for the rate, just in a private text message.
Oh, that's just me stretching my legs. That's just me being me. Well, it's cold up here, so you know.
Yeah,
it brings out the meanness. Right, that's Angela not taken down. I've been very nice this week.
Which makes me think, what do you want?
Almost
what
as
are
if
you
I
after?
Feel I'm on borrowed time.
Yeah. I feel like you were so nice to me with my smugness just now that I feel a little bit sorry for whoever's coming on because I feel like I've been nice to Angela, so now I'm going to give it double to the person who comes
know.
On.
I could do with a tap in here, to be honest. I could do with a nice, easy one because we've had A&E nurses in the past.
Oh,
We've had
you
nice gentlemen.
I mean, that was before
that
Christmas,
one stayed with
I
me.
Think. And that's really stayed with you, that one.
It's the fact that I was able to do it.
Yeah. You learned something about yourself, didn't you, when you took down an A&E pediatrics,
given that I just,
wasn't she as well? Oh, yeah.
I just praised you for remembering a lanyard and said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything mean about that. And I managed to bring down a pediatric A&E nurse. Just, there's some real darkness in there. So this week it's Rick. Brace yourselves.
Hi, John. I'm feeling smug this week because as I record this on Friday evening, I'm on a sunny balcony in Corfu drinking Mythos Lager. And so far, I've not been bit by a single mosquito, unlike you when you went away. And to top it off, I'm about to go out for some lovely Greek food. Try and bring that down. Cheers, Rick.
Oh, he's gone personal there.
Yeah.
Because he knew you were on holiday and you got... You're like me, John. We're just tasty morsels.
Are you tasty as well?
I have to look at a mosquito and they bite me. Yeah.
Well, if you could see them, that'd be the thing. If I looked at them and then they bit me, I'd at least think I'd brought them on. Maybe I'd give it a wink or something without realising. We've heard I am coquettish. I do have a natural charm about me.
You really lead those mosquitoes on, don't you?
It's the fact that you don't even see them.
No.
You just feel the bite.
You need that skin so soft stuff. It's the stuff that soldiers use, apparently, and it works. Like, it's the only thing that's worked for me. It's great. But you have to put sun cream on as well, because if you burn like I do, and you just put that on, then what you've basically done is basted yourself.
Yeah.
And then you roast. So, sun
would
cream
say
and skin so soft.
The last thing I need is softer skin. I mean, that's spiritually and as a person who's never done an actual day's work in his life. I'm already paranoid about every builder handshake. I can already see him looking down. What can I say to Rick other than good luck keeping your dinner down? That's all I can say. You've had a few beers in the heat, off for a nice rich meal. I can only hope that what I am unable to do, the Cleftico has done for itself. I hope Saturday morning is an indoor one for you on the old porcelain telephone.
We've gone back to the bathroom in this link, haven't we, John?
Well, I don't know much else about the man other than that he's had a few beers and gone out for a big meal.
That's true.
So, you know, you brought it on yourself, Rick. But congratulations on your holiday. Oh, do you think it's warmer here? Here we go. Let's see if it's warmer here than Greece.
Hang on, this could be it, because Corfu might actually be less warm than Britain.
Is he in Corfu now, do you think?
Corfu is what you said, didn't he?
Temperature 30 degrees.
Yes!
It's 30 degrees in Corfu.
Take that, Rick.
You should have stayed at home, mate. Hey. Should have stayed at home.
It's not Baltic, is it? No.
Yeah, I've got a nice long sleeve top on and I've had a VLT sandwich. Zero carbon footprint. Oh, dear. So it's time for the literal police on Absolute Radio.
Do you know what, John? This time last week, I was ready to berate you. I was really cross because I heard that you'd put Lando Norris in literal prison.
Yes.
And then he won the Grand Prix the next day. Turns out that short, sharp shock did it. So could you put him in prison about every two, 3 weeks?
Well, he's still in there. He's not getting a week sentence.
So you just let him out for the races?
He's out for the... Yeah, absolutely. You've got to allow people to carry on with their lives. You
know, oh,
I'm a
brilliant.
Big believer in rehabilitation.
if he wins the championship, I'm going to put it down to the fact that you scared him into, you know, getting his head down and moving on. That's great.
It's carrot or stick, isn't it?
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Forget you can hit people with a carrot. Nobody's saying that. That's what I am. I'm the carrot smacker. That's what they call me. If you were listening last week, come on. If you were listening last week, Angela, you will have known that actually I stuck up for Lando Norris and I said that in his use of the word literally, I couldn't be sure whether or not he had just woken up before that interview. And it was Will and Charlie that looked at me with such disdain that I had to put him in prison. So
I'm so disappointed in you.
You can direct your ire at them. But,
to be fair, I mean, it was sort of a slam dunk. I was just worried it was going to affect his performance. But as it happened, it affected his performance positively. So
I think
therefore,
he was
it's okay.
Thrilled to know he was being spoken about. And on the subject of Will and Charlie and all the people who come to the Literal Police and then find themselves addicted to it, I'm very pleased to report that we have infiltrated the families of other Absolute Radio DJs. There was a cracking bit on Dave Berry's breakfast show last week about the Literal Police. Here it is.
I've been living with the perfect co-host to John Richardson. Now, of course, John's brilliant show is back tomorrow morning. But if Kerry, Angelo, whatever, they're ever busy or whatever it may be, I've got the perfect person to step in.
Yes.
And that person is my six-year-old daughter, Evie. Evie is so route one when it comes to the Literal Police. It's insane. Like, I looked at her, shocked. I went, oh, I live with John Richardson's co-host. It would literally take 2 seconds, Evie, and she just looked at me, blinking and went, one.
Oh,
and obviously I haven't done the thing I said I was going to take.
So you're using it incorrectly. She's right. She's an enforcer out on the streets for John.
She is. She's an enforcer.
Taking it seriously. She's like a police community support officer.
Oh, Evie.
Yes.
Do you know, I'd give up my seat for Evie today. I would. Like, what a little legend. She's carrying on the work at home.
Yeah, you can't ask any more than that, really.
No.
You know, people doing God's work, really.
We've got like a little rookie force. We could start a literal police academy.
Oh, I'd love that.
Wouldn't that be great?
On a 7-movie spin-off franchise.
Yeah, definitely. Literal
yes,
police
please.
Go to Miami or whatever. Yeah, let's do it.
Mission Moscow. It might be a bit spicy at the moment. Yeah. I don't know that one. We'll do Miami Beach first. My daughter does the same. You can't, once kids have learnt something, that they just, because you tell them as an adult, you know, I am the standard by which, you know, you should uphold all these values that I teach you. I taught my daughter the word hypocrite is the worst thing I ever did.
Oh, no.
The worst thing I ever
that.
Did. So I'll say to her, right, you need to, it's hot this week, so you need to be drinking more water. And she'll go, what's that thing? What's that word for when you tell me to do something but you don't do it? And I go, hypocrite. And she'll go, yeah, that. And I go, oh,
what have I done?
I've had a drink all morning. Yeah. It's absolutely terrible.
That's
congratulations.
My childhood was quite often, I remember my parents saying, do what I do, say not what I do.
Yeah, that seems to have gone now.
Yeah.
Do as I say, not as
not
I do.
As I do, yeah.
I don't know if you still hear that anymore.
Yeah, that was a real 80s parent thing to say.
That was an 80s staple, that absolutely.
Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah. It's tempting to say it was a better time. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was
it's the
bad.
Best time ever to be alive. And we'll be going back later to 1994, so we'll find that sort of in the middle, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They started to, you know, people had started to have therapy by 1994.
So we've got our nominations for this week's Literal Police. They haven't come from Evie. Dylan's reached out this week. Here we go.
Hi, John. I've encountered a serious breach of the literal laws whilst listening to Vernon Kay during the week. Vernon was swooning over his weekend of live music with Oasis. Whilst I'm a fan of said band myself, Vernon made the extreme claim that they were literally the band that everyone was talking about. Whilst I don't doubt the popularity of the Monobride Wonders at this point in time, I hardly think that those of the Peruvian rainforest have been waxing lyrical about the delivery of Slideway or Live Forever. Let alone the fact that last weekend was full of other iconic gigs, including Ozzy Osbourne's final performance. I don't think there's any other option but to banish Vernon to the shackles of the literal cells where, as punishment, he can be subjected to Blur's Country House on repeat. All the best and keep up the good work, Dylan.
Wow, he's even suggested the punishment. That Dylan is like rising through the ranks, isn't he? Of literal police officers.
Is it that? Someone's got a first novel out this Christmas.
Hey!
That was beautifully written. The Peruvian rainforest. Oh, very nice.
Lovely.
Right, let's hear the offence.
We have got live performance of Slideaway from Cardiff from Friday night by the band that literally everyone is talking about, Oasis.
See, I'm not talking about them. I'm not. No. I've not been. I mean, I am now, I suppose, but...
Yeah, I don't think everyone... It's what we're here for, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's enough to say it's the band that everyone's talking about. That's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough of a link. You don't need to throw the word literally in there. Slide yourself away into prison. Open and shut case. Let's shut them doors.
Bang him up.
There we go. Now... This one brought in by Deputy Will.
Oh, don't call him Deputy, he's the Sheriff. He gets really upset if you call him the Deputy.
He's the Sheriff of the show, but I don't think he can be the Sheriff of the Literal Police.
Well, you're the Sheriff of the Literal Police, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think I've got the boots on, haven't I?
Yeah.
So, Will was watching Wimbledon. He saw an interview with Emma Raducanu, and this is what she said.
I know you've just won, so I always feel a little bit bad about asking you about that next match, but is it up against Aryna Sabalenka next? That will be something. That will be something next here at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I mean, of course, she's number one in the world right now, so dominant on the tour, you know, has won literally everything. So, yeah, it's going to be a really difficult match.
She's not won literally everything. She won.
She hasn't.
She won House of Games.
Never been on Finders Keepers, to my knowledge.
No.
Absolutely.
Slam dunk. Slam dunk.
I'm going to declare here, I feel bad about this because now this was brought to my attention last week and I allowed the paperwork to slip under a council tax bill because I didn't want to put her away while she was still in the tournament.
Well, this is why I've got a bone to pick because you were quite happy to throw Lando Norris under the bus when he had an important race, but
I'll
not Emma Raducanu.
I don't watch Formula One.
Right.
And that's all that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see, what's happened, John, is it sort of backfired, hasn't it?
It's massively backfired.
Lando did win. Emma, not so much.
Now I think if I'd have put her in literal prison, she might have beaten Sabalenka.
Yeah.
I will take that on the chin. And it, purely in the interest of Emma Raducanu's coming season, in the hopes that this inspires her, like Lando, to win another Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Another Grand Slam. She's got to go away. Yeah. Bye-bye, Emma.
Put them all away. We'll be back in... Britain will be back at the top.
Anyone you want to put in for now? Reason?
Who's
managing Torquay at the moment, Will?
Paul Watson.
I was going to do it about Leeds, but I'll be honest, I care too much. Are you willing to put Paul Watson in as an experiment?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's see how Torquay... Go on. There we go.
Ooh.
That's a long game, that. We will find out next May.
Do you think the pound has gone to our head? Do you think it might have done? We're locking people up now with no trial. No offence.
Oh. Oh, no.
This is a dictatorship, is what's happened now.
I've become a literal dictator.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. See how easy it happens. See how easy it happens.
I've become a dictator.
What are you wearing?
And do I approve? It's just... Oh, no. Right. Come on. Let's have a break.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So it's the final hour. You are listening to Absolute Radio, John Richardson and Angela Barnes.
It's nice to know, John, that we're sort of 2 hours in and you've still got a job after what happened this morning. So that's nice.
I know. There's a lot of activity outside the studio.
There seems
to be people waiting. So, you know, we'll find out how far
this has
gone.
There might be a meeting later.
They don't know. I just declared myself a dictator, so they've got no jurisdiction. Good luck with that, mate. Arrested in whose name? Yeah. Now, it's the time of the week when we discuss news that wasn't in the news, that could or should have been in the news, that might have been a slightly more entertaining look at news or a little bit of light-hearted fun. It's been a rather toilety show this week.
It has. Are you going to continue that trajectory, or have you got something a bit nicer?
I've managed for 42 years, but I'd like to take a little break, so I'd like to talk to you about the work of a Harvard trained neuroscientist, if I may.
Highbrow, okay. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, Kevin Woods has found a way of looking at your bowel movement. No, I'm joking.
Hang on. Did you just make up the name Kevin Woods?
No, Kevin Woods is real.
Oh, right,
Harvard is real.
Okay.
Training is real.
Right.
Neuroscience, I'm on the fence about.
Okay, fine.
It sounds weird, doesn't it? Science about the brain. Nah, have a sandwich and chill out. He's come up with some strategies to help engage your brain.
Right.
So just keep yourself active. Keep the neural pathways going. I'm not having some of them. There's three of them here.
Okay.
One of them, chewing gum.
What?
He says chewing gum can feed the brain in a number of ways, although, and this is the key bit, the exact mechanisms are unclear. Convenient,
what?
Isn't it?
Who sponsored this? Wrigley's?
Yeah, he got shares in Hubba Bubba, mate.
Yeah, what?
It's suggested that chewing gum increases blood flow to the brain, which means more oxygen and glucose for the prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus, vital for memory and learning. I don't know. It's one of them. Do you want to live in a world full of more intelligent people, but there's chuddy on the floor everywhere?
Oh, no.
Or do you want to live in a clean planet full of slightly thick people? I know
people
what I choose.
Are chewing gum and they talk to you.
It's everywhere now, isn't it?
Oh, it's disgusting.
It's all through sport. There's nothing supposed to be in your mouth that long. I feel sorry for my tongue. Anyway. Another one. This one I did like because it reminded me of something I used to do as a kid. Walking backwards is a way to apparently get some new neural pathways going. It challenges the brain, it focuses attention, and it strengthens neural connections while forming new pathways.
That makes sense to me, because you're having to change what you're doing, because everything becomes habit after a while. But if you create new habits, you create new neural pathways, and that's healthy. Yeah. That makes sense.
Not downstairs, not on bumpy terrain. Just sort
no sense of adventure, John.
When I used to have a cheeky day off school, I used to get a mirror and I used to hold it sort of parallel to the ceiling at my groin.
Right.
And I used to walk around the house so that if you look down at the mirror, you can see the ceiling rather than the floor and it looks like you're walking on the ceiling. So I used to sort of walk around the house. But I'd think I was going to trip over like a light fitting, but obviously there wasn't one there.
I just want to say something to Will and Charlie as well at the moment. We didn't have the internet. just bear that in mind when we were kids. Yeah.
Yeah, this is pre-Commodore 64, this behaviour. But I feel like every now and again, because obviously you'd be looking at a clear patch of ceiling and you'd trip over a nest of coffee tables. I don't know if those are a thing anymore. I feel like I've just earned the right to... I get suggested a lot of VR headset fails on the internet, and all I'm saying is I've earned the right to laugh at these people who charge headfirst into their television. The final one is just humming.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know.
I do think you're better off doing a word search.
I would say a puzzle is better. Yeah. A nice walk and a puzzle. Humming can ease stress and promote relaxation by stimulating the vagus nerve. I don't know about this, to be honest. Studies on choir singers show enhanced heart rate variability and cognitive function.
Well, they're not humming, are they? Rubbish choir, that'd be. They're just humming.
It's just really annoying. Yeah. Annoying the priest. Who's that? Who is that? You. I'm looking at you.
Did you ever do that to teachers? Because it was on an episode of Grange Hill when I was a kid. They had the thing where you're in the classroom and one person starts humming, then another person starts humming, and it really winds the teacher up because they don't know who's doing it. We did that a few times at school. It's really mean.
I think you do know, if you just wait out long enough, it's the kids with their lips pursed shut, they're going bright red.
But everyone's just looking down, pretending to still be working.
Okay. Well, you're very mean. I was very nice to my teachers.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I think I'd rather live in a world of less intelligent people who didn't chew gum and hum. Oh, I've been really unsettled. Okay, it's time to find out what Angela thinks should have been in the news that wasn't in the news.
Okay, this is quite good news, I think, John, because it's a hotel in China. They used to have a wake-up call service, right, where they would wake guests. They have four resident red pandas. And guests would say, oh, I want to wake up at such and such time. And they would do it by sending a red panda into the room and climbing on their bed to wake them up, which sounds very sweet. But you don't know when a red panda's going to turn, do you?
Yeah.
And also a bit cruel, I'd say. Like, are they paying the red pandas? Are they, you know, do they have a union? Probably not China, but, you know. And so I do think it's a good thing that that's been stopped. But I would say, John, I don't know what you think about this, but wake-up calls, like, if you can't get yourself up in the morning...
Yeah.
Like, you manage it at home, and I'm nervous to ask for a wake-up call in a hotel, because I think if I ask for a wake-up call, they'd just say you're 48 and you don't have a pension. Like, I don't think they should be a thing.
Well, they're a very anachronistic thing, aren't they, I think, from a time before people carried around an alarm clock in their pocket everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Because I suppose you used to have those little travel alarm clocks. Remember those?
It's that and the... Do you know, I've still got my alarm clock from when I was doing my GCSEs at school.
The radio alarm clock.
That noise stays with you for the rest of your life.
That one, yeah.
Really unpleasant. I mean, I make a similar noise when I'm threatened. What? If your bottom
goes red and your tail goes up. I've seen it.
A small jet of ink. If you could be woken by any animal climbing into your bed, bear in mind, Saturday morning.
Yeah.
We're all friends. I think... You want something that's going to... You want something like a sloth, I think, that's going to move quite slowly. You don't want anything that's going to jump on the bed. That's going to freak you out.
I'd like a donkey. I like donkeys.
In the bed?
I think not like a donkey's head, not like Godfather or something. Wake up with a donkey's head in the bed. No, I mean, I think a donkey would just be like, morning. Time to get up. You know, be sort of gentleman.
You've taken it on a very different angle to A.A. Milne. It's more of a sort of depressive, oh, well, what's worth waking up for anyway?
Well, that's kind of how I wake up, so I might as well run with it.
So we're pleased that the red pandas have been... I used to do room service in a hotel.
Did you?
I tell you what, it's too intimate because it's a bedroom.
Yeah, it is. And
you're going into someone's bedroom.
They've got, like, they might whack a robe on, but sometimes those robes don't fit very well.
I used to dread breakfast room service knocking on that door. Oh. There are two ways that goes. Either the curtains are open, the window's open, and they're ready for their breakfast, or you are both their room service and their wake up call.
Oh.
And somebody staggering across the room in their underpants to be given a plate of sausage and scrambled egg.
Oh,
and you never get tips in the morning.
The fog
you
never in get the tips. Room. No, of course not, because they haven't got any pockets in their pants.
No, but I always tip a room service breakfast if I am lucky enough to have one, because it's the worst job, because everyone else is in the restaurant having a laugh, making a bit of toast.
Yeah.
You get, we go up to that person's pit. That person who couldn't be bothered to be... By definition, they're saying, I don't want to be presentable at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
The way I look at 7 in the morning is my own business, except for the poor swine who has to carry my breakfast up to me. And I guarantee nobody's slipping a fiver into the hand of a red panda. So it's good that... I mean, we don't know what job they've been sent on to.
Well, that's the worry, isn't it? They might have gone... What's a worse job? They might be carrying the suitcases now. I don't know.
Yeah, or they've been sent to the hotel I used to work at, but I won't name it for fear of a second legal battle of the morning. While we're talking about my misspent youth, it's the Britpop Summer Diaries. We'll be going back to 1994.
Absolute Radio's Britpop Summer.
John's Britpop Diaries.
Yes, on Absolute Radio, we're celebrating all things Britpop this morning. I love it. I love it.
It makes me so happy going back to this time.
It's fantastic. Like, Oasis are back. Stereophonics have announced a tour. Pulp are back.
Oh, it's
smashed
so
Glastonbury.
Great.
Best thing at Glastonbury, Pulp.
Yeah. Oh, Jarvis has just got it, hasn't he? He's just, whatever it is, he's got it.
Oh, I used to in a previous life at a different station, he used to come on after me. Just being in a room with him, he just changes the vibe of a room.
Have I told
you?
The
way he sits in a chair.
I went to see it was 2001, and I went to see a band, was it Lamb Chop, I think I'd gone to see. And I was supposed to be going with my then boyfriend, but he got stuck in Glasgow and couldn't get down. And so I went on my own to this gig, and I went, at the start of the gig, I bought two beers, right, because there was a big queue and I was on my own. I thought, well, I'll buy two beers now. And I stood there and I was trying to sort of sort myself out with my beers and that. And someone was laughing at me, and I turned around and it was Jarvis Cocker.
The
guy, you know, the guy Aphex Twin, that guy. And they like laughed at me and I smiled and they said hello. And then I went backstage to them afterwards and met Lamb Chop. There we go. And then, you know, Jarvis released a song called Angela. I don't think it was about me.
It's exactly the sort of story this feature exists for, because you ain't getting that from me. There's a cracking story in the Absolute Socials from Johnny Vegas this week. Came in for an interview and was talking about he's got handwritten lyrics to Common People written by Jarvis. That's exceptional, isn't it? That's a bit of thing to have. I have not got that.
No.
I'll tell you what I've got. I've got the CD of that album, which I bought from a shop. Yeah? You want to try and get your hands on that?
Hey?
Whoa,
hey,
good
there's
luck.
Only I think a it few thousand have... of them on eBay.
Might still have the price tag on it.
From our price.
Obviously, listen to Dave Berry, listen to Bush and Richie, listen to Leona Graham. You're going to get these stories. You're going to get people who were there, who were having it at the time. Yeah. I was not having it. It was not even offered to me. If I'd have seen it on a plate, I'd have gone for something I understood a little bit more. I was having Finder's crispy pancakes. This year, we're going to go back to 94, early.
My favourite year.
And excitingly, we're going back to that point because that is the year that Sleeper released their debut album. And Louise Wenner is now, she's family.
She's in the family.
She's family. It's her second show, 10 p.m. tomorrow night at Brilliant. Absolute Radio. Tune in for that. And I don't know, I assume we'll just all go out for like a family dinner at some point, right, guys?
So. I think she lives near me and I keep hoping I'm going to just bump into her and we'll become best friends. Do you think it could happen, John?
And now you're colleagues.
Yeah.
Now that you're family, I think if you see her around you, you're entitled to shout, hey, sis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us, Angela, 1994.
94 is a special year for me. I was 17 going on 18. What a time, eh? What a time.
Yeah, awful.
And do you remember when we talked about 94 a bit before and I mentioned my mixtape that I had?
Yes,
and February 94, when that Sleeper album came out, was when I started going out with that boy. He was my first proper boyfriend. And one of the first dates we went on, we went to see the film Philadelphia. You know, the Tom Hanks film was on at the cinema.
Bit of feel-good comedy.
Yeah, well, we went to see that, but what happened? So my mum was desperate to meet this boy I'd been seeing, right? And my family are quite embarrassing. I've got a big family, mm-hmm. and they're loud and they play music and they get drunk and they're brilliant. But when you're 17, it's all a little bit embarrassing. And my lovely boyfriend had a very nice middle-class family. He was of Indian heritage and they were very nice people. And my family were raucous and loud. And my mum was having this party at our house with all the family. She said, why don't you bring him along? And I was like, absolutely no way. There's no way I'm bringing him to this house. And so I arranged to go to the cinema with him that night. And we went to and he came and picked me up in the car and drove to the cinema. And about 10 minutes into the film, the film melted. That was a thing that could happen in those days. The screen just went all bubbly. Right, and it melted. So it was like we all just got our money back and had to leave. So he was like, what do we do now? And he went, isn't there a party at your house? Let's go to that. And I went, you don't want to go to that. You don't want to go. And he went, I do, I want to go. So I took him back to my house. And it was, because they were all drunk by the time we got back. And we weren't. And it was just, the poor boy just looked like a rabbit in the headlights as he walked through. And everyone was, hey, there he is.
Passed my driving test. We had a second-hand Renault 9 that we'd bought from a farmer, which had the beautiful, sexy twin smells of dodgy diesel and manure.
Nice.
And I tell you what, didn't do a lot to change my popularity with the women of Lancaster. That I used to drive around in it on my own because my mum would have it at work and then my sister would have it because she had an actual social life. And my shift with the car was about 10 p.m. onwards when my sister got back. So I would drive the back streets of Lancashire listening to Parachutes by Coldplay and Pablo Honey by Radiohead, depending on whether I was sad or angry. And those were the two emotions I had at the time. Angela is 17. She's got a boyfriend. They're driving. They're going to house parties. I am 12.
little 12-year-old John.
I am about to go to high school, so February. I'm finishing primary school, and I've got here three certificates. So in case you think, you know, I wasn't living my life to the max, here are three things that not only did I do, but have kept for 30 years, because I remain proud, right? So this first one here, you can see, says Lancaster Police Schools Community Action Teams. This is to certify that the holder hasn't even got my name on it.
Just the holder
took part in an attempt to break the cycle coding world record attempt at Beaumont College.
Oh, there's so much to unpack here, John. Because for start, it hasn't got your name on. You could have bought that on eBay. Right?
Yeah, that's just a generic certificate handed out to everybody there.
And they really emphasise attempt, which I'm assuming means failure?
Yeah, didn't succeed.
Yeah,
failed attempt. And coding is where they would stamp a number onto the base of the chassis of your bike so that if it got stolen, it was traceable.
Yeah.
So all I've done is I've cycled to a local college to queue to have the police stamp the bottom of my bike, been given a certificate and kept it for 30 years, Angela.
Wow.
30 years. So in case you think...
I wonder how many bikes they stamped that day and whether anyone else still has their certificate.
Oh, I'd love to know. I'll tell you what, John at absoluteradio.co.uk, if you were there on that day, the 16th of April 1994 at Beaumont College, perhaps you were there a month later on the 23rd of May when John Richardson, yes, this one's got my name on it, attended a mathematics activity day. There we go. He's hitting all the...
Oh, John, what I... The fact that all your certificates are for attendance.
Oh, well, you say that, Angela. Get a load of this.
Go on.
This is a certificate from March 1994 for completing, thank you very much indeed, the C.P. Taylor Memorial Primary School's cross-country race.
Wow. Yeah.
Completion of a race. Did I win the race? No. I was 47th out of 131.
pathetic life. You're in the top 50%, John. That's fine.
Pathetic life. So there we go. That is, with apologies, what I was up to. I think this is spooky as well. We discussed earlier your dad and the Formula One and these little synchronicities that occur. You don't have to believe in anything more meaningful than just that the world every now and again throws up a little chance to enjoy it even more. This is my Leavers report from 1994. This is my report for music. John has a lovely singing voice. Right, we can take that as read.
I've never heard you sing. Do you do karaoke and things?
Oh, when I was 12, Whoa, I tell you what, beautiful. He always participates with enthusiasm. And this, given what's happened this morning from my teacher, I look forward to John's performance in the Christmas jazz. Well...
Wow! Born for Jazz FM.
If I could go back now and tell Miss Hickson that one day I will make my debut on Jazz FM, albeit against my and their will.
Still I hope Miss Hickson's listening.
I hope so. She was a cracking teacher. I was in love with Miss Hickson. Anyway,
I hope she's not listening.
We are off to live our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got anything exciting planned?
Well,
actually,
I asked.
Oh my goodness, we've got to this point in the show and I haven't mentioned it's my husband's 50th this weekend. So I should say that, shouldn't I?
I love you, but only at the last minute of the show.
I know that, you know, we can't do dedications, but I think for my husband's 50th, we can make an exception, can't we?
I mean, what is this world if not using the powers that you have, whether you've earned them fairly or not? So absolutely, we'll dedicate. Do you want to dedicate the show to him? It feels like a gift he might not want.
Yeah, we'll dedicate it to him and he can reject it if he wants to. That's fine.
Absolutely. So have you
just,
got...
Actually, John, what I think will really make his days, if you could just ask him what he's wearing.
With some music underneath?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Make it jazzy.
What are you wearing?
Beautiful.
Have you got secret plans then? If I asked you what you're up to, does he not know?
He knows something. So we're going camping this weekend and I've hired a little VW camper for us to go in with some friends. So that'd be nice. But his actual birthday's on Monday and I can't tell you on air what we're doing.
That's very exciting. I am having a very much cleaner weekend. I asked my daughter what she wanted to do this weekend. She said she wanted to go to a Roman museum. So a chip off the old block there. I look forward to her radio show in 30 years when she talks about why she wasn't around for all the great music of 2025. Oh, my dad was a pathetic man who retained certificates for 30 years. So as such, we went to a lot of museums.
Lovely.
What do you think we should call the podcast of this
week's show? I mean, it should be What Are You Wearing? Stick a bit of custard on it.
It should be What Are You Wearing? Stick a bit of custard on it. And it will be, because it cannot be King Kong's finger. So, thank you.
I think you'll find, John, we didn't mention that in the show in the end.
I was just teasing. thank you for all your interactions, whether they were readable on air or off air. They were all read and enjoyed. Keep them coming in, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Thank you to Will and Dave. Thank you to you, Angela.
Thank you,
thank
John.
Thank you to everybody who listened. Have a wonderful weekend and we'll be back next week with more. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, we're up north, aren't we? Baltic up here. Snowing. Hello, Dave. How are you? What are you wearing?
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
There we go. If you do want to tell us what you're wearing, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
My concern about what happened today, John, is when you play that clip, it sounds so like it's made up. It sounds so... because it just fits so perfectly.
I'm a better DJ, accidentally, off air, than I am on air. That's the devastating realisation. I wonder what else I'm better at when I don't try.
Oh, I wish the listeners could have seen the panicked man from Jazz FM running into the studio. That's the funniest thing that's ever happened.
And in Will's Guess Who, I've got a new facial expression to print onto cards. Is your Will looking like he's about to have an embolism? Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Is it Jazz FM producer one? So join us next week on Absolute Radio and whatever other station we decide to go out on.
Yeah, what should we do next week? I think Radio 2's right for popping in on, don't you?
I'm going to have a...
Ramesh wouldn't mind.
He'll be all right with it.
He'll be all right.
He's basically doing the features we did the last week anyway, as I understand it. I'll have a go at Magic FM or something next week, see what happens. But we'll be live on Absolute Radio, 8 a.m. if you want to join us. If not, there'll be another podcast. Thanks for downloading this week. Happy 50th birthday, Matt.
To my husband, not me. I'm glad you clarified that. I've got another year and a half till I'm there, mate. Don't you worry.
Absolutely. Are you being mean to him? Are you saying stuff like, ooh, come on, TikTok?
Creaking a bit. Yeah, you'd be in a whole new decade now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you know what I did? I lived with Matt Ford the year he was turning 30.
Oh, yeah.
And about five to midnight, I said to him, do you know, whatever you do in the next 5 minutes, you will never do again in your 20s. And my God, it landed like a sledgehammer blow. I was only joking. He had an absolute existential crisis at 5 to midnight on his birthday. So, anyway, you could do that to your husband if you like this week.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. And why not? I mean, we've been together 11 years. That's about run its course.
Yeah, you're done. You're done there. I'm going to end on a Neil Buchanan note and say, and why not cripple your loved ones with an absolutely devastating statement this week? Join us next week for more. Thank you very much. Bye.